Open them up to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we're going to look at this wonderful, it's one of my most favorite stories in the Bible. I love reading this story, I love teaching this story, preaching this story. I like the gospel, I like all of John's writings altogether. I just love teaching the gospel of John, preaching in the gospel of John. I love doing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I just love everything John has to write in the Bible. I like his style of writing and how he presents Jesus and presents God and how we should live as Christians. But this is a wonderful story here in the Gospel of John. Many of you probably are familiar with this story. And the title of the message is Even Now. And I want to start off in verse 1, and we'll read down a little bit here in this chapter. I'm reading out the English Standard Version, and so you can read along with me in whatever version you have. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again,' the disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going back there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' After saying these things, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to wake him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he might meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.' So Thomas, called the twin, said to his disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning his brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" And listen to this next verse, verse 22. Listen to what Martha says. "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Think about that. As we get into the story, pray for Pastor Jimmy. I forgot to mention this. Pray for Pastor Jimmy. He's down in Kentucky speaking at a church down in Kentucky as I'm speaking here right now. So he's down in Kentucky speaking down there at a church. And so just pray for him to God to keep him safe and give him the words to say tonight. But we get into this story. And as we get further into this story, but I just want to point out a few things tonight. Now, Lazarus lived with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. They lived in the town of Bethany, which is just south of Jerusalem. And Jesus oftentimes stopped into that house on his travels going back and forth. And we learn here from these first few verses that Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha very much. And they loved Jesus. And it comes to Jesus here that Lazarus becomes sick. He becomes very ill. And Mary and Martha sent people to Jesus to tell him, said that, hey, Lazarus is sick. But notice what Jesus says, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, that so that the Son of God may be glorified through it all. I want to tell you something. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. Lazarus' sickness didn't catch Jesus or God by surprise. It was part of God's plan. And you say, well, how could somebody being sick and dying can be part of God's plan? Sometimes it's hard for us to figure out things from a human's perspective. But Jesus says this illness was to bring about God's glory, or glory to God, and it was to bring about glory to Jesus. It was part of his plan all along. Nothing catch God unaware. You may be going through some tough times, some rough times, some hard times. You may be going through some hang-ups and everything else in your life, but let me tell you something, it doesn't catch God by surprise. God knows what's going on in your life. And God knew what was going on in their life. Jesus knew what was going on in their life. In verse 5, it talks about Jesus loving Martha and her sister Lazarus. And get this, and this is important. It says, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days later where he was. And from a human perspective and from our perspective, you think if someone you love very much gets ill, you want to go be by their bedside. You want to go try and help them out. And the Bible says that Jesus loved them very much. So why did he stay 2 more days? We'll get to that in just a moment. But you know, every time I hear about somebody being sick, you know, in my family, I try to get down to Louisiana as fast as I could. When my mom and dad were very sick and on their deathbed, I tried to get down to Louisiana as fast as I could. Why? Because I wanted to be with them. And when one of you are in the hospital, I try my best to go see you. If you let me know you're in the hospital. Some of you come up to me and say, well, I was in the hospital. You didn't come see me. When were you in the hospital? I don't know. But I try my best to come see you. When I found out Ashley was in the hospital, we were on vacation. But I kept in touch with Dan. Beth kept in touch with Dee. As soon as we got back into town, I was up at the hospital visiting Ashley, praying with her. And you think Jesus would go as soon as he could to Lazarus because Lazarus was ill. He was dying. But Jesus stayed 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples there in verse 7, he said, let us go into Judea again. And probably the disciples were thinking, they were still trying to figure Jesus out. They looked at Jesus like, you know, maybe you don't want to go see Lazarus because, you know, last time we were there, they tried to stone you. And when Jesus said, okay, now it's time, let's go back into Jerusalem, let's go back toward Judea, let's go to Bethany. And the disciples said, well, wait a minute, Jesus. Last time we was there, they threatened to stone you. You want to go back? But Jesus tells them, he says, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. You know, Jesus made a similar statement. He says, while it is still daytime, we need to work. Because the night comes when no man can work. Jesus had a job to do. Jesus had a job to do. And each one of us has a job to do too. And we need to do it while it is still day. Because the night cometh when we won't be able to do our jobs anymore. But he tells them this, and then he tells them, he says, Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples, they still didn't get it. That's how I can tell they're a bunch of Baptists, because it takes time to sink in. They said, it's good that Lazarus is sleeping. You know, he'll sleep it off and he'll get well. But then Jesus told them, Lazarus is dead. He died. The disciples still didn't get it because Thomas said, okay, if we're going to Bethany, if we're going down in Judea, let's go with him so that we can die with him. And so they take off, they go down to Bethany. When they come into Bethany, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Now remember, Jesus stayed 2 days. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days now. You want to know why Jesus stayed a couple of more days? This is why I think Jesus stayed a couple of more days. Underneath Jewish theology, they believed that a person was not legally dead till after 3 days. They didn't pronounce a person dead till the fourth day, because they believed the spirit of that person still remained within that body for up to 3 days. And so they wanted to make sure a person was dead. They didn't pronounce him dead till the fourth day. And I think Jesus stayed because to remove all doubt that Lazarus was dead. The Jewish religious leaders could not come back and say, well, you know, if it had only been 2 or 3 days, the Jewish religious leaders could not come back and say, oh, well, his spirit really didn't leave his body, so, you know, he just revived himself. But Jesus wanted to remove all doubt that Lazarus was dead. And he comes there. And I want you to get this next part of it. Martha comes. She hears Jesus was coming, and she went out to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Why is that important? Martha comes to Jesus. She runs out to meet Jesus, but Mary stays in the house. You ever get to a point in your life where you think that you got a problem so big that even God can't handle it? That's about the way Mary was thinking here at this point in time. Martha ran to Jesus. Mary sat at home and probably thinking, well, what's the use? Jesus can't do anything about it now. My brother's dead. What can God do? You ever been in that situation where you sunk so low you don't even think God can pull you out of that pit? I witnessed to people off and on that would tell me, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've done some terrible things. How can a God love me? How can a God save me? All I can tell them is that what Paul said. Paul said, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And if God can save the chiefest of sinners and turn him into the world's greatest evangelist, I know God could save you.
That's right. Amen.
It doesn't make any difference what you've done. And let me tell you something. You may think you're unlovable. You may think God cannot love you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God loves you.
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference what you did. Does it make any difference how messed up your life is? Does it make any difference what kind of hang-ups you got in your life? It doesn't matter how messed up on drugs or alcohol or whatever else you got in your life. God loves you, and he wants you to come to him. He wants to set you free. Mary said at home, Martha ran to Jesus. And this is a wonderful statement that Martha makes here. She says in verse 21, she says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. You know, a lot of times we want to blame God for the bad problems we have in our life. You know, you can do one or two things when bad things happen in your life. You can either shake your fist in God's face and get mad and angry with him, or you can come to him with open arms and let him put his arms around you and pour out his love and grace into your life and carry you through those bad and tough situations. But a lot of times we blame God. We blame God for the death of a loved one. We blame God for losing our jobs. We blame God for even getting in trouble with the police when it's our own fault. A lot of times we just blame God. But Mary sat at home because she felt like, what's the use? God can't even help us now. Jesus can't even help us now. But I want you to notice the next statement. I love this statement. Mary said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. What a statement. What a statement of faith. Yes, her world has been turned upside down. Yes, everything has gone awry. But she said, but even now, I know whatever you ask of God, he will give it to you. You got to understand the world that they lived in. Lazarus was probably the breadwinner. Lazarus was the one that made all the money. Women, sorry to say, ladies, but women were second-class citizens back in those days. When the husband or the caretaker or the man in the family died, if they didn't have any more relatives to go to, a lot of times the women were cast out on the street. And they either had to find somebody to take them in, some of them turned to prostitution, in order to get a roof over their head, a bed to sleep in, and food to eat. It wasn't a pretty picture back in those days. You got to look at the problem that these two ladies faced. Lazarus, their brother, had just died. Their future was uncertain here. But Martha steps out in faith and says, but even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. You ever have one of those wow moments when you read scriptures? This was one of them for me. I read that scripture and those two words popped out at me even now. And I was going through one of the roughest times in my life. And I read through this chapter, and I've read through that chapter I don't know how many times, but this one time I read that chapter and that statement and those two words jumped out at me. And I looked at that and I said, wow, even now, God can do whatever I ask of him. Even now, I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know what kind of hang-ups you have, addictions you have, strife you have, heartaches you have, but I do know this, that even now, God can do whatever you ask of him. He can do it. We read on in this story, and it gets better. Jesus says, tells her in verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Jesus told her what was fixing to happen. You know, a lot of times God will tell us something, we don't even believe it. We read it in the Bible and we don't believe it. And sometimes I think if Jesus could come back and stand in front of us face to face and say something, half of us still wouldn't believe it. Jesus told Martha, he said, your brother's going to rise again. And Martha says this in verse 24, said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus says this, and this is wonderful here. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You believe in him, you will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Everlasting life. That's why John wrote in John 3:16, and all of you know that verse, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus asked this question to Martha, "Do you believe?" And he's asking that question to you today. Do you believe? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? And she responds in verse 27, says to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God who is coming into the world." Can you make that same statement about Jesus in your life? Can you be like Martha? Then it goes on. It says in verse 28, it says, "When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary in private, said, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went with him." Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. "When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to Jesus and she saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" She had the same attitude as Mary. Asked the same question. "And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" Shortest verse in all the Bible, verse 35, says Jesus wept. Commentators have had various different interpretations of that verse. Some of them say because Jesus was troubled in his spirit, he was grieved because they really didn't believe he could do anything. And the people were weeping and crying, and Jesus was troubled with that. Some commentators say that Jesus was moved with compassion, and he was hurting with Martha and Mary. He was feeling their aches, their heartaches, their pain, their loss, and he wept with them. But Jesus wept. He cried. And I don't know what you're going through in your life today. Whether you're hurting deep inside, your heart is breaking, you don't know which direction, I want you to know that Jesus feels your sympathy. Jesus cries along with you. Jesus hurts along with you. There are only two instances where Jesus cried in the Bible. This is one of them. The other one is when Jesus is leaving Jerusalem and he goes up on a hillside and he looks out over Jerusalem and he cries out, he says, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, if you would only have believed." He says, "I would have gathered you up as little chicks underneath a hen's wings and held you close. But Jerusalem would not believe." At that point in time, Jesus cried because of unbelief. Here I think Jesus was crying because of compassion. Question is Jesus crying because of your unbelief? Or is he crying because he's hurting along with you and he wants to bring comfort to you? But Jesus cries. And when they did this, they said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he do something? Who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? They were questioning Jesus. Then in verse number 38, he says, and Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Roll away the stone. And Martha, her sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead for 4 days. Listen to what Jesus said. And they said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Jesus goes there, and he tells them, roll the stone away. And Martha says, Lord, he stinks by now. He's been in there 4 days. He's been dead for 4 days. You want to roll the stone away? And he tells Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believed? He reminded her what he told her earlier and what she said. She said, Lord, I believe. And Jesus tells her, he says, didn't you not say just a little while ago, you believe? Didn't I tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Sometimes we're like that too. Sometimes we roll a big stone up in front of our heart's door. And Jesus comes to us and he says, roll the stone away. And we holler back and say, Lord, it stinks in there. Jesus says, roll the stone away. But yeah, Lord, but you don't know what I've done. Roll the stone away. But yeah, Lord, I got sin in my heart. You don't know what it's like. Jesus says, roll the stone away. Roll the stone away and let God in. Let him clean up your life. Let him get things done in your life that need to be done. So many times we don't want to roll that stone out of the way. We'd rather hang on to our sin, hang on to our hang-ups, hang on to whatever we got, rather than letting it go. But Jesus told them, roll the stone away. And they rolled the stone away. And so they took away the stone in verse 41. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he prays and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me and I know that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed. And I love that. Doesn't matter how deep, dark, dire the situation is, you can always go to God in prayer. You can always pray and God will always hear you. And Jesus says this prayer so the people can know who's in control here. Who's fixing to do the miracle here. And he says, and when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Can you imagine that? All eyes fixed on that doorway to that tomb when Jesus yelled out. I heard one old black preacher say one time, if he didn't call Lazarus by name, every dead body in that cemetery would have come up out of that grave. Let me tell you something. He yelled out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And it goes on in verse 44. He says, and the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Tell you what, when Jesus yelled out Lazarus' name down in that tomb where that body lay, all of a sudden the heart started palpitating. Blood started coursing through those veins. The Holy Spirit breathed the breath of life back into Lazarus, and Lazarus became a living being again. Now, I don't know if the Holy Spirit carried Lazarus out or if he came hopping out or whatever, but, you know, it says here that his hands, his feet were bound with linen strips. His face was wrapped in a cloth. He was bound up. He is all wrapped up. I don't know how he come out of that tomb, whether he was hopping or what, or taking little steps like this, trying to get out. But he came out. He came forth out of the tomb, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And that's what Jesus is telling us today. Today, you may be wrapped up in sin. You may be wrapped up in this. You may have been tied up in this and that. You got stress tying you up. You got money problems tying you up. You got sin tying you up. You got everything tying you up, keeping you from serving God. And Jesus is saying, loose it and let it go. And let God have his way with you. Loose it and let it go. You can't serve God to your fullest ability if you're tied up with everything else in your life. God wants all of you. God wants all of you. You need to learn to loose it and let it go. And let God. You know what the beautiful part of this story is that if you go back to Luke chapter 10, before this even happened, you go back to Luke chapter 10 and in verse 40 and following, Jesus comes to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And as Jesus is sitting there, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she's sitting there listening to Jesus' words. Martha is busy trying to get food on the table. She's busy in the kitchen. You don't even hear anything about Lazarus. He's sitting off in the background somewhere, watching ESPN or something. I don't know. But he's sitting there. And Martha starts griping and complaining. She comes in there. She sees Mary sitting there at the feet of Jesus. She says, "Lord, tell Mary to get up and start helping me." That's my paraphrase. She said, "Gee, doesn't it bother you that Mary's not helping me? I'm trying to get dinner on the table here. She's not doing anything, just sitting there." That's why I know Martha's a Baptist. She's complaining about other people, what they're supposed to be doing. But Jesus said, "Martha, Mary's doing something very important. She's listening to my words." You know, sometimes we get so busy, even sometimes so busy in ministry, we forget to spend time with Jesus. But that was the picture. But then this happens. Lazarus dies. And what's so beautiful about this, if you go to John chapter 12, one verse over, one chapter over, and I want you to notice what happens here when Jesus goes back to their house. It says, 6 days before the Passover, now Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of her perfume. And you go on down in verse 9, it even got to the point where Lazarus' testimony became so strong that the chief priest wanted to kill Lazarus. But here's the picture I want you to get here. Back in Luke chapter 10, they were arguing and fighting over one another, what each other should be doing and not should be doing. But then something happened there. Chapter 11 happened. Tragedy in their life. But then Jesus stepped in. And he learned to roll the stone away. And he learned to loose and let go of whatever they had. And let God. And let Jesus in their life. And you come here to chapter 12 and it's a totally different picture than Luke chapter 10. You see Mary in there serving. She's not griping and complaining. She's serving the best that she knows how. Let me tell you something. When you learn to roll the stones away from your life and loose it and let it go and let God into your life and have His way in your life, your service is going to go to a whole new different level. When you look at Mary, she was in Luke chapter 10, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Look what she does here. She takes oil, ointment, nard, and she puts it on Jesus' feet. Starts wiping his feet with her hair. And it said that fragrance filled that whole room. Her worship level went up to a whole new different level. And when you learn to roll the stones away and loose it, let go, your worship level is going to go much higher to where your fragrance is going to fill the whole air. In other words, people are going to catch on to your worship. You know, a lot of times we come to church with all of our hang-ups. We come in the door. We're mad at the kids for making us late to church. You know, car wouldn't start this morning. We got behind a slow poke in the traffic who wouldn't go. And we just have all these problems. We had a bad day at work, a bad week at work, and we got this problem. We come into church with all these problems. And the truth of the matter is we ought to leave all those problems at the door. And come in here and focus on God. But we're so busy worrying about stuff. You look here in chapter 11. Jesus wasn't worried. If Jesus, a God, doesn't worry about anything, why should we worry? Why should we worry when God doesn't worry about anything? All we have to do is put our faith and trust in Him. He's going to take care of everything. Why worry about Jesus? You know, Bible says, you know, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares about you. Mom used to have a saying on her refrigerator that said, tell God all your problems, He stays up all night anyway. But her worship was taken to a whole new different level. And you look at Lazarus. In Luke chapter 10, he's there somewheres. But you notice where he's at here. He's reclining with Jesus at the table. He's sharing his testimony with those around him. And it's so much so that the chief priest and the scribes and Pharisees, they wanted to kill Lazarus. How many of you say that you can tell your story, your testimony, people want to kill you over it? In some countries, that's literally happening. Christians in some of these countries give their testimony. Certain authorities find out about it. They cut their heads off. Execute them. You think about that. But Jesus says, loose those things, let them go. On every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know how you walked into this place tonight with worries, with frustrations, with hang-ups. Some of you may be dealing with addictions, and it doesn't have to be just drugs and alcohol or pornography. If it could be going after power, it could be going after wealth, it could be going after fame. What are those things controlling your life? Is it God? Look in your heart. Have you rolled a big stone up in front of your heart? Maybe Jesus is telling you to roll that stone away. Maybe Jesus is telling you to loose whatever it is in your life and let go of it and let God. Because I know even now, God can. Maybe some of you are here today. I know some of you here today that God's been dealing with you about doing something, that you felt God calling you to do something. And maybe you've been coming up with reason after reason after reason after reason why you shouldn't do what God wants you to do. Do you know what those reasons are? In reality, they're excuses. Maybe it's time that you let those excuses go. Maybe it's time you loose them and let go and let God. Because when you think that there's no way possible, or you think that you can't, God can. All you got to do is loose it and let it go and let God. We used to have a saying when I was a youth, a teenager, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. We used to have sayings that let go and let God. That was our thing for our youth group, was to let go and let God. And God is telling you the same thing tonight. Loose it and let it go. Let Him have His way with you. God performed a great miracle that day. And God is still in the great miracle performing business still today. But you have to be willing to roll the stone away and loose it and let it go and let God. Because even now, whatever you ask of God, He can do it. Let's pray.